I be without the Lord? I don't know where I'd be without the Lord. When I look around and see what the Lord has done for me, I don't know where I'd be without the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we thank you for this day and for your many blessings, for the multitude of your tender mercies. Lord, we come before you as humbly as we know how. Lord, we pray that you would have your way in this place today. Have your way as we go forth in your word. Lord, bring encouragement, bring understanding, Lord, bring enlightenment to your people, Lord. We pray that you would bless us today at our individual points of needs and bless us together as a congregation, Lord. We pray, we understand that we cannot do nothing without you, but we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And even now, we ask that you would hide us behind the cross, that you would go forth, that you would lead us and guide us and direct us in your word today. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. All right. Why do I sing? Because it helps me get the nerves out when I'm. All right. Let's go to 2 Timothy. And while you're going to 2 Timothy, I want to just say, I just want to thank everyone who had a hand in helping us with the funeral yesterday and the repast for Sister Sherry's grandmother. A lot of you did something to help out to make that a success, and I just want to say thank you for the way that everybody just pitches in and does what has to be done when people have a need. Amen. And one of our members had a need yesterday, and we were able to fulfill that need just by volunteering our service and our church to the family and loved ones of her grandmother. So, as always, you all did a great job, and I just want to say thank you. Greater love for being who you are. Amen. Today, you know, after hearing Fred preach last Sunday, I was wondering if I was even needed here today. I thought about just ordering some breakfast pizzas and just, you know, and just talk, you know, fellowshipping with you all, but I wasn't able to pull that off, so maybe another time. But I do want to briefly talk to you today from the Word of God, and as I was seeking the Lord for where to go and what to, you know, what to talk about today, this is more of a reminder type of message today. Amen. When we look at 2 Timothy, the fourth chapter, it says, "I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, to preach the word, be instant in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry." So I've read in your hearing 2 Timothy 4, 1 through 5. And I want to talk to you or remind you today about the importance of the Word of God. Amen? The importance of the Word of God, because I want to let you know that it's harder than it's ever been to walk victoriously in what you believe today. Harder than it's ever been. It's harder than it's ever been for us to walk in what we know, what we've been taught, what we've accepted when we accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. It's harder today than it's ever been. And the reason why it's harder today than it's ever been is because we have so many different things vying for our attention today. Amen? You could imagine if you grew up, you know, yesterday we did a funeral for Miss Freeman. She was born in 1923. She was 95 years old. She was born in 1923. You know, if you grew up in a time when you didn't have the internet, you didn't have the cell phone, you didn't have the fast food restaurants, you didn't have all the things that we have today, you know, you didn't, you know, some of us even in here grew up when you didn't have television, or you just got television and you only had three channels. So it was, you know, back then we did more reading. We did more fellowshipping because we ate at home. We did more, we had more quiet time because there wasn't so much vying for our attention. First of all, we didn't have much. So you just worked with what you got, you know, and you know, you didn't have a 4 or 5 course meal. You had what you had, and everybody, you made sure that everybody had, you know, had something, but you worked with what you got. But now today, we've gotten to the point where we don't even realize it, but the enemy lures us to the place to where we're taking the easy way out. In other words, how many of us, if you're not preparing to teach a lesson, if you're not getting ready to do what I'm doing today, if you're not doing something that's going to involve the Word of God, how many of us are still home studying the Word of God? Are still home making time to get into the Word of God? How many of us are, we do it when we're asked to, you know, you got to teach Bible study next Thursday. Okay, let me get that book out and let me start reading and getting prepared and all that stuff, right? But if I didn't have to teach Bible study, if I didn't have to get up here Sunday, would I still do all that? Or would I just wait till Sunday and see what Fred has to say? See what Nick's talking about. And then I hear what Nick or Fred or Brian or whoever it is that's bringing the word. We hear what they have to say. We say, okay, that sounds good. And we go out and we go wait till next Sunday to see what so-and-so has to say. But the same thing with our spiritual life is like our natural life. If you ate a meal today and didn't eat again till Sunday, next Sunday, you'd be awfully weak. Amen? It'd be hard for you to get up, right? Amen. But see, you know, we teach around here, and rightfully so, that this life is not predicated on works. Amen? We teach grace because that's what the Word says. Amen? But let us not be confused. It's not about works, but you have to put some work into it. You have to discipline yourself to put something into it for yourself. You know, I can't just go to the gym and watch the trainer work out and get in better shape myself. Does that make sense? I might be able to pick up a few pointers about what he or she is doing and say, okay, that looks like it. But I can't just go there and look around and get in better shape myself. I gotta get involved. I gotta pick up a weight. I gotta get on a bike. I gotta walk a little bit. I gotta run. I gotta put something in to get the benefit back out. Amen? You can't just lose weight without changing your habits. Amen? I can't just give you a diet and you, I mean, you got to follow it in order for it to work. You see, we've gotten to the point now where we're so spoiled because we have so many ways to take the easy way out. You know, we don't cook like we used to cook because you think about cooking, but then again, it's easier for me to just go and get something right quick and be done with it. I don't even have to clean up. Amen? But there's nothing like cooking a meal and sitting down and talking while you're eating, you know, kind of like what Fred was talking about last week. We can't, you know, one of the things we're quick to say is all the time is when we get in a situation where we don't know what to do, us Christians, we say, okay, well, let me pray about it. That's what we like to say all the time. Let me pray about it. What we're really saying is I'm not sure what to do right now. And it's all right to pray about it, but with your prayer, you also need to know what God has to say about the situation. All of us in here today, individually and as a church, are dealing with some problems in our lives. We're dealing with some issues in our lives, and all the answers to all of our issues are found in this book. I challenge you to give me a problem, give me a situation that we can't find something about it in this book. It's in here. We can't make a decision about what to do as a church without consulting what the Word of God has to say about the situation. We can't just say we're going to pray about it. What does the Word have to say about it? You cannot come to church Sunday after Sunday and expect to receive everything you need for your spiritual nourishment. It ain't going to happen in a 1 hour or 2 hour setting. This is why God gave us the Holy Spirit to teach us individually and guide us to all the truth. If you don't study on your own, you will never know if what I'm preaching is correct. Amen? I always, you know, Fred gets up here sometimes and says some things that I have to be like, and I'm not saying that in a bad, I'm just saying he says some things that really challenge us, and I gotta see about that. Sometimes I gotta go in the Word, I gotta think about what he said, and I gotta study that out, right? Which is a good thing. That's what he wants us to do. Amen. He wouldn't have it out of the way. He doesn't. None of us want to get up here and say, just believe what I have to say. No, look, base it on the Word of God. Does it line up? If it doesn't line up, throw it aside. We stress all the time about the importance of personal devotional time, the importance of, you know, taking notes so you can study and being, you know, in meditation. If you're not growing in the Word, you have no one to blame but yourself. Did you ever notice that when you're in the Word, that the week tends to go a little better? You think a little clearly, a little more clearly. You make better decisions. Amen? I'm speaking from experience recently that when there was a time recently when I wasn't preaching that often, guess what I did? I took some time off. Amen? I stopped opening the book for a while. I got home from work, and I'd put the TV on. And I watched the TV until it was time to go to bed. And I would go to bed, and I wake up and go to work again. And I come home, and I put the TV on. And I watched that until it was time. But you know what happens is, when you stop opening the book for a little while, you start to get weak. You start to get off track. You start to lean more towards self. Amen? The enemy wants to divert our attention away from the Word of God in any way he can. He loves to make us too busy. Amen? And we justify it by saying, I'm doing what I need to do for my family, or I'm doing what I need to do for this or that. But watch out, if you're too busy to get into the Word of God, you're too busy. Amen? We need to constantly be in the Word of God. You know, I listened to some of you talk about the Bible studies that Pastor Bryant walked you through and things like that. And what was the one thing that he asked you all to do in those Bible studies? Read, right? How many times? Three times, right? Did you notice when you read? You know, it's different. We can come to a Bible study and somebody can talk at us and we hear it and we say, okay, that sounds good. That was nice. I had a good time. And you go home. But when you read it for yourself, do you notice the difference that it makes? Did you see how, you know, at first y'all, you know, I was going by the testimonies I heard. So at first it sounded like y'all were frustrated, maybe even mad about it. I don't have time to do all this. But as you did it and got used to doing it, all of a sudden the testimonies were like, wow, we're having a great Bible study. We're doing, you know, and all of a sudden, do you see how it starts to manifest itself? Because you're reading what the Word of God has to say. The Word of God, it exhorts, it reproves, and it rebukes. It's what we need. If you're feeling down, it exhorts you. If you're doing something wrong, it reproves you. If you are sinning, it rebukes you. It's designed to stimulate you to search for more, to make you hungry for more, like an appetizer at dinner. It's not designed to feed you entirely. That is why it's so important to take notes and use them throughout the week in your own personal study. A word of exhortation is designed to stimulate the unbeliever as well as the believer, to speak to the newly converted as well as the person that has been in Christ for years. It motivates the whole body of Christ that has come together to worship the Lord. The preacher that delivers the message is not the one who is talking, it's the Lord motivating his people who have come together. All scripture is profitable for teaching sound doctrine, for bringing reproof, correction, and for instruction in salvation through faith in Jesus Christ, who is himself the incarnate Word of God. The preacher has a job to do in delivering the message, but the listener has an equal part to listen, to eat it, to taste it, to meditate on it, and to apply it and walk in it. We're living in a day now where people are going to mega churches and they're going to whatever church it is, and they're just going to hear something good and leave so that they don't have to put the work in themselves. Let's be honest with ourselves. We don't always pump the weights. We don't do what's necessary for us to continue to be strong in this walk. And because of it, you know, if you read the Bible, you'll know that the Bible tells you that in this world you shall have what? Tribulation. Right? So God told us, he told us in the Word that in this world you are going to have suffering. You are going to have problems. You're going to have circumstances come your way. You are not, you know, you're going to have good days and bad days. That's what this life is all about. So it's important that you stay spiritually strong so that you, with the help of God and the Holy Spirit, would be able to stand in those times when trouble is on your doorstep. Amen? You know, I was going to get into the milk and the meat and all that type of thing, but I'm not going to do that today. I think Fred's going to handle that sometime soon. But what I want to say to you is that the Word of God, when it's read and studied, it's our spiritual nourishment. It's everything we need to think right, to make good choices, to make good decisions, to treat each other right. Amen? Because the Bible says that we ought to love one another. That's how people will know that you are my disciples. Do your best to study and present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed and who's correctly handling the word of truth. Amen. If we read the word of God, it'll tell us that the word heals, that the word makes people free, that the word illuminates us, that the word bears witness, that the word produces faith, that the word makes one wise, that the word exhorts, that the word rejoices the heart, that the word regenerates, that the word teaches, that the word is a source of joy. It's a standard of conduct. It's a source of new life. It's spiritual food. It sustains us. It determines our destiny. It gives us hope. If you read the word of God, you'll realize that Romans, the 10th chapter says, but what saith it that the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart? That is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess that with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. If you're down and troubled today, you will find help in the Word of God. If you're confused, if you don't understand what's happening in your life, you will find direction in the Word of God. If you read the Word of God, you'll find out that you're more than a conqueror through Him. Amen? That you'll find out that greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. If you read the Word of God, you'll find out that you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Amen? The Word of God is to encourage us, to stimulate us, to teach us, to rebuke us, to reprove us. It's too bad that all of us didn't have a Bible study to teach
next week. Because all of us would put the time in to get into the Word of God and be prepared for the Bible study, because none of us wants to get up there and look unprepared. Amen? Because our pride won't allow us to do that. So we will get into the Word and we will prepare ourselves and we will do the best that we can do in presenting what it is that we have to present. But when we don't have to do that, when nothing is being asked of us, then what do we do? I can tell you from experience that there's a big difference when you don't open the book for a while and when you're in it all the time. Amen? When you have to do something week in and week out, when you're tasked with something that you have to be in the Word of God, there's a big difference in the way your days go than from not opening this book at all. So, for those of us that have gone so long without, you wonder, some time in the Word of God, you wonder why things are going the way they are in your life. Amen? I come to remind you today, very simply, that we need to be in the Word of God. We need to, for ourselves. It's not enough for us just to come and hear something from me or Fred or anybody else that might get up here, but we have to get into the Word of God for ourselves. We have to know what is right in the Word of God. Amen? The Word of God, again, will help us to think better. It'll help us to make good choices. It'll help us throughout the week. But don't just rely on someone else to talk to you about the Word of God, but get into the Word of God for yourself. Because in it, you will find life. You will find direction. You will find hope. You'll find everything you need in the Word of God. Amen? Let us stand. I don't know if there's one here today that has not yet accepted the gift of salvation. Well, what's the gift of salvation? Well, we read it in Romans that if you believe that Jesus Christ has died for you and that he rose again and you understand that you're a sinner, that you would accept him and the gift that he died on the cross for you and 3 days later he rose again. If you believe that, the Bible says, if you would confess that, you shall be saved. Is there one today that wants to get themselves going in the right direction? That understands that they have been on the wrong path? That every time they try to do good, evil is ever present. They keep on running into the same wall over and over and over again. You've realized, you've gotten to the point where you realize that you can't do it on your own. As hard as you try, you need help. Jesus says, "Come unto me, all that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Jesus stands with open arms, with no respecter of persons, saying, "Come unto me, I will give you rest." Let us reason together. Jesus loves you and died for you, that you might have life and that more abundantly. If you need an answer to your prayers today, if you need some direction in your life, if you're hurting, Jesus wants to help you today. But the thing about it is, he stands at the door and he knocks. The handle's on the inside. You got to let him in.
Will you say yes to him today? Is there one that would say yes? Yes to your way and yes to your will, Lord. As we bow our heads, Lord, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you for your grace today, Lord. Lord, we ask you to just bless us. Lord, all you gave us today was a simple reminder that we need to be in your word. But it's really not simple at all. It's life-changing. Lord, we realize how much we need you. And we realize that, Lord, we got to put in some time with you in this word of God. Lord, help us to discipline ourselves, to make time to do this ourselves, whether somebody asked us to do something or not. Lord, it can't be just when we have to present something, Lord, but we need to do this on a daily basis so that we may walk in the victory that you have given us, Lord. The strength that we need that comes from your word. Lord, bring us back to the word of God. Take us back to the word, Lord Jesus. Help us to stand on the word of God. Lord, bless us even now as we get ready to leave this place, but not your presence. Lord, all of us have our different needs. And Lord, we know that you can cover them all because you're just that great a God. Lord, bless everyone at their individual points of needs and bless us as a church family. Bless us to think right. Bless us to act right. Bless us to do right. Bless us to be a blessing to somebody else. It's not about us, Lord, but it's all about you. Help us to walk out of this place and give somebody an encouraging word, an encouraging smile, and let somebody know that with Jesus on their side, they can make it. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we pray. Thank God. Amen. Come on and give somebody a hug and tell them you love them, and there ain't nothing they can do about it.